Samantha's like, I would. I do. Darce does. She even says, take their heads off, boys. And we're like, Mom, these are little kids out here, you know. I mean, 12-year-olds here. We don't want to take their heads off. But the Lord is good. No. The Lord is good. And he and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Glory to God. Do you know what that means? That his mercy endureth forever. It's only by his mercies we have what we have. It's only by his great mercy and loving kindness that he crowned us with, according to Psalm 103, that we don't got to go to hell, that we can be healed, that we are healed, right? That we're saved. Hallelujah. And when he comes, we're going. Glory to God. Woo. Now, that was teaching purposes. Now, I believe I was led to do that. But at the same time, how many knows, sometimes when we come together, God always has a plan. Not sometimes, but he always has a plan. But how many knows, when we come together, the devil has a plan too. And when we come together, we got to get in one mind, one heart, one purpose, one accord, right? Even, y'all remember when they was building the Tower of Babel? Now, these people ain't born again, and they're in disobedience to God because God told them, go replenish all the earth. He didn't say, hoard up and make you a town. But when they was building the Tower of Babel, they're in disobedience to God. What'd God say about them? He said, let us go down. He said, because nothing will be impossible to them because they're in one mind and one accord and one heart. These people are in disobedience. How much more do you think that we can do in the will of God? Born again, filled with the same Spirit on the inside of us that raised Christ from the dead. Doing his will. But yet the devil will try to come and stop it. What's that mean? Stir yourself up before you get here. Whoever starts the service, stir up the people. Be led by the Spirit of God when you get up here. Ooh, we're getting real quiet. Why? This, just like this, I don't ask you to, I don't take up prayer requests. I don't do none of that. Just nobody does nothing for me when I get up here. Why? I trust and lean and depend on him. Now, there have been some times that I've got up here and I just wanted to get right down. And y'all are like, we know when they was. And I know you know it. But how many knows those times they don't have to be? No, we don't turn God on and off. He's always on. He's always moving. He's always doing something, right? He's always wanting to do even more. But how many knows it's according to the power that works within me and you? And if we're just sleepy and we've just watched TV all weekend, oh, come on now. We ain't sought the Lord. Probably would do us good if we just called a fast for the whole church next week. I'm glad y'all are so excited. You know what that tells me? As a problem with the flesh. Because how many knows, even though your flesh might, I do not like it, far as my flesh is concerned, but when I do it, I'm telling you, and that flesh don't dominate me, and I begin to be dominated by my spirit, I'm like, woo, let's do it again tomorrow, Jesus. Why? Because I'm supposed to live out of my spirit. That's where you have the connection with God. But it's through your flesh where you have connection with yourself and the devil. And how many knows, your body has a voice. And it'll tell you, I want that cupcake. This is not in my notes, people. But having is when we come together, every time we come together, God has a purpose. He says he prepares a table before us. Where? In the presence of our enemies. God don't prepare the table for us not to come and eat. But how many knows, kind of like the world has a saying, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Every time we come in this house, every one of us, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you should have sought the Lord and prayed for these services and bound the enemy in the name of Jesus. And when you come in the door, have your mind on the Lord. And Lord, I'm willing. Use me, God, if you want to use me. If nothing more, you just come and add your faith to this service. That God, I believe you called us together. And God, I know you done it for a purpose. So Lord, when we show up, you come in us. Right? He's in every born-again believer. He comes with us, but how many knows he's not always manifesting and revealing himself? Sometimes you can feel the very presence of the enemy, and that is not right for a born-again believer. He's under our feet, but whose services are these? They're ours and God's, right? The Bible says we're fellow workers together, fellow laborers together with Him in His plan. Everything's not all up to God, right? And everything ain't all up to us. We work together, right? Led by His Spirit. Woo! Glory to God. He's here. Oh, wait. Do y'all know that's what Jehoshaphat, if I'm thinking right, that's what Jehoshaphat and his praisers that he sent out done. Am I right about that? Y'all don't remember? Remember Jehoshaphat, the enemy was going to come against him and all that, and they thought they was going to be destroyed, and he didn't send out the army, he sent out the praisers. You remember what they said? Their song was what we just got through saying. For the Lord is good. I can just see them right now marching forward. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. They didn't even have to fight the battle. Do you know we don't either? The victory's already been won. But if you don't put Him where He's supposed to be, He's an outlaw. He will usurp authority where He doesn't have it. But we're not going to do that, right? He's got no place here. And the Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. What's that mean? He comes down amongst and He dwells. Woo, that one is good. Okay, let's get to my message now. Woo, title this morning is Prepare for the Lord. If you got your Bible, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God's got a treat for us too. He give us a song. We'll play that in a few minutes maybe. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified. If you don't have the Amplified, Beth will put it on the screen for us. And we're going to start in verse 13. Excuse me. He says, "Now also we would not have you ignorant." When he starts a sentence like that, what do you think the big possibility is? That we could be ignorant if we're not watchful, right? And he says, "I wouldn't have you to be ignorant." In other words, I want you to know, brethren. So we know he's talking to the born again, right? About those who fall asleep in death. What's that mean? He's talking about those that have passed away already. He says that you may not grieve for them as the rest do who have no hope beyond the grave. How many knows we got hope beyond the grave, right? He goes on and he says, I got to stop doing that. I'm losing my place here. 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he's the only one in any religion that did. Do you know, as far as I can tell, every other religion wants you to die for them. Not ours. He died for you. He died for me. And not only did he die, but he rose again. Glory to God. And everybody else is still in the grave. Amen? Woo, we should be excited about that. Because if he didn't rise, we won't either. But he did. Excuse me. He says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him, through Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in death. For this we declare to you by the Lord's own word, that we who are alive and remain," that's me and you, "until the coming of the Lord shall in no way proceed into His presence or have any advantage at all over those who have previously fallen asleep in Him in death. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet." King James says trump. Do you realize there's signs all over the place if you pay attention? Amplified says trumpet. Anyway, let's move right along here. He says, "And those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first," talking about those that are buried, those that are gone. He says, "Then we, the living ones who remain on the earth," that's me and you, he goes on and he says, "shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Hallelujah! He says, "And so always, through the eternity of the eternities, we shall be with the Lord." He says, "Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words." They was for years that I was a Christian, and these words did not comfort me. I walked and lived in a lot of condemnation. Now listen, when you get born again, when you accept Jesus as that sacrifice into your heart that paid the price for you, you cannot become any more righteous than what you are. You cannot get any more right standing with God than what you are at that moment. Now, sanctification gets walked out through a process. Your mind gets renewed. Your attitude gets changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you cannot get any more right with Him than the second that you got born again, according to Scripture, right? He became sin so we would be made the righteousness of God in Christ, according to Corinthians. But I lived in a lot of condemnation, and I don't know why, other than the devil just, I had this tape that just played in my head. If people find out how you really are. I don't know why I thought I was such a worse sinner than any of the rest of you. Because we all came through the same cesspool of sin. Now, maybe your sin was different than mine. Come on now. But sin is sin, Johnny. So when He comes, but because He loves you, He's coming because He loves you. Not necessarily because of this great love that you never fell out toward Him. Did you hear what I said? The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, it says, perfected or matured love cast out all fear. When you begin to realize He loved you so much that He gave everything that He had, that He could possibly give. The Bible says God loves me and you just like He loves Jesus. He loved us so much and still does. He gave Him for you. He gave Him for me. The Bible says even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? So hallelujah, the one that loves us, He's about to come and get us. So I'm here to tell you this. Don't have no fear. These are comforting words. We're about to get out of here. But how many knows we got a work to do? Go ahead, Beth. Play our song, please. This song goes right along with the scriptures we just got through reading. The Holy Ghost gave me this Friday, I believe it was. Turn it up good and loud, too. We want to hear it and feel it. I like to hear music and I like to feel it, too. Not too much, but...
Jesus steps out. Appearing everywhere.
not the midnight cry.
Praise God. Woo, I'm looking forward to it, ain't y'all? I don't know, I never have, but it's like I do now. Sometimes I just sit on my porch and I imagine. And I mean, I know that I can't even imagine what it's going to be, but it's going to be glorious when we see him. You know, I've told y'all the story about when Scotty, we was dating and he went to Florida, you know, for 2 weeks. God, I thought I was going to die. He thought he was too. But when I think about Jesus, and when I get there to see him, the one that loved me so much, that did everything for me, it's just going to be awesome to me. When he says, come on in, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'm going to make you ruler over much. That's going to be absolutely great to hear him say that. And he knows, though, it's going to be sad because there's some he's not going to say it to. But then when I think about that and I think about how great that's going to be, and I mean, I believe it's soon and very soon. I believe every one of us in this room probably is still going to be here. That I believe that's how soon it is. I pray and I say, but Lord, help us to get our work done. Because I don't want anybody to be left here. I don't want anybody to not go when he comes. Amen? And that's why we're still here. That's why when you got born again and accepted Jesus, you didn't just split and get on out of here to be with him. Every one of us has a work to do. It may not be something behind the pulpit. The Bible says, let your light so shine that men would see your good works and glorify God. So it's not all of those that's behind a pulpit somewhere. Sometimes it's just on your job. Sometimes it's while you're in Walmart. That just your smile, just that light radiating off of you can open an opportunity for you to spread the gospel to somebody. Amen? Let me read this here. We're going to continue on here in chapter 5 of this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. And I've got this in the Amplified too. He goes on and he says, but as to the suitable, let me get it. Ah, y'all see him take a gray cover off when he gets up here. Y'all know why. I'm trying to dry it up here. He says, but as to the suitable times and the precise seasons and dates, brethren, you have no necessity for anything being written to you. Now, another place, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, right? And I'm not trying to predict that. I'm just telling you, I believe it is soon and very soon. And he says, those that are born again, that are looking for his coming, we don't even have a need that somebody give us a date and time. He says, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the return of the Lord will come as unexpectedly and suddenly as a thief in the night. When people are saying all is well and secure and there is peace and safety, then in a moment unforeseen destruction, ruin, and death will come upon them, as suddenly as labor pains come upon a woman with child. And they shall by no means escape, for there will be no escape. But you are not in given up to the power of darkness. Hallelujah, we've been redeemed from it, right? He says, brethren, for that day to overtake you by surprise, like a thief. He says, for you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong either to the night or to the darkness. Accordingly, then, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us keep wide awake, alert, watchful, cautious, and on our guard, and let us be sober, calm, collected, and circumspect. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. He says, but we belong to the day, therefore let us be sober and put on the breastplate, the corset of faith and love. What's God been talking to us about? Years and years and years he spoke to us about faith. I mean, to the point people would come here and say, God, y'all a faith movement, ain't you? And now it's like we can't seem to get off of the love of God. He goes on here and he says, of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of our salvation. The confident expectation, right? That Jesus did it all for us. He says, for God has not appointed us to incur his wrath. He did not select us to condemn us. He never condemns us. He says, but that we might obtain his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who died for us so that whether we are still alive or are dead at Christ's appearing, we might live together with him and share his life. He says, therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, and build up one another, just as you are doing. Praise God. That's a mouthful. And thank you, Lord, that he's already, the Bible says, delivered us from all the power of darkness, amen. And we're children of the light, glory to God. And he says there, that day ain't going to come on us unaware, but it's only to those who are sober. And I'm not talking about drinking alcohol. How many knows you can be drunk on this world, in this world's system? You can be so caught up in living this natural life, mowing the yard, going to work, to the ball game, all this other stuff, to where you are not aware of what is going on, the signs of the times, or even the call that's going out in the spirit. And we got to help these people. We got to tell them, look, wake up, he's coming, wake up, he's coming. I know we've heard it for thousands of years, but how many knows one day he's coming? And if we're right, it's soon and very soon. You better get ready. And if we're wrong, well, praise God, you got closer to the Lord and lived a happier, better life. Nothing to lose either way, right? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see what I got here after that. Let's go to John 14. See what Jesus said. Oh, don't you just love him this morning? Oh, he is so good. And if you don't love him yet, it's just because you don't know him. You can't know him and not love him. He's just too good. He's just way too good. And the Bible says it's his goodness that leads us to repentance. Amen. It's not about us doing religion and getting rid of things in our lives and changing ourselves and this, that, and another. All you got to do is get born again, accept him, read your Bible, pray. When I say pray, just talk to him, just have a relationship with him, and go to church. That's all. The Holy Ghost will do the rest. He will change you. You can't change yourself. Brother Brad used to tell us this way. He said, you can't crucify yourself. He said, you might can put this hand on the cross. You might can put 2 feet on the cross, but who's going to put this one? The Bible says, crucify the flesh, how? By the Spirit. See, you know what kept me from running off with all other kinds of men and getting another boyfriend and all this stuff while me and Scotty's dating? Wasn't because I was scared to. It was because I loved him. And to me, there was nobody else like him. Do you realize when you love him, you find out how much he loves you and you love him, there's this hunger and there's this desire in him on the inside of you that, God, I may be doing this, but help me, Jesus, I don't want to. You got Christians all over the world that are in that place right now. But do you realize the Bible says in the last day, God's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness? I got to get on with my scripture here now before my time gets up. All right, John 14, verse 1. I think that's King James. Yeah, King James Version. This is read, so we know Jesus said it, right? Excuse me. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. That word mansions means dwelling places. You get it? Dwelling places. He goes on and he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He said, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, and where I go, he said, you know the way. And then we know Philip paraphrasing. He said, Lord, we don't know the way. What is the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. The Bible says there is no name under heaven or earth that a man can be saved other than the name of Jesus. He is the door. You get born again, he is your entrance. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, behold, he stands at the door and he knocks. If any man will open that door, what's the door? It's your heart. If any man will open that door and say, come in here, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, he'll come right in. And you will never be the same again. Glory to God. But notice that there. He says, I'm going away. And we know that he has. The Bible says he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, right? Making intercession for me and you. But he says here, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What's that mean? I'm going to make you a house where you can live and you can dwell in. Why? Because this is not our home. He says, I'm going to make you a home. And it ain't here on the earth. He said, I'm going to make you a home. He said, and when I make you a home, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and you're going to be forever with the Lord, right? For eternity after eternity. This life is, the Bible says in James, I think it is like a vapor. I mean, it's like a puff of smoke. And you are gone. So how many knows? We can't be living our life. We're called to live in two worlds at one time. Here on the earth, but also there. The Bible says that we've been seated in Christ in heavenly places. Our authority is there, right? Our names are written in His book there when we get born again, right? And Jesus is preparing our place for there. But yet for right now, we got to live and operate here in this world led by the Holy Ghost, right? On the inside of us. So what's that mean? It means I live here, but I got to occupy here until He comes. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me read you what the word occupy says. Because we're fixing to go to that scripture. Well, let's just go to that scripture first. Luke 19. We'll read the verse and then I'll tell you. You got Christians. I don't doubt they're born again. I have backslid myself. Anybody tells you you can't do what the Bible talks about, backsliding, they don't know what they're talking about. Evidently, they've never been born again. You know as well as I do that yesterday you might be a little closer to the Lord than what you was yesterday and we should be. But how many knows backsliding is just like what it says? Your heart starts getting cold. It starts getting hard. Where once you was in love with Him, wanted Him, do His will, to where the point, to where things starts getting a little cold, you don't want that anymore. I don't want to read my Bible today. That's how it starts. I don't really want to read my Bible today, you know. I never get to go to Hilltop. I'm telling you, Lord, just one time, it's not going to hurt nothing, is it? Lies of the devil. Because see, he don't want it to just be the one time. It's everything. How many knows everything starts with one time? Everything starts with just one time. And then before you know it, it's another time. And another. See, that's how come people that you see them on their fourth and fifth marriage is because after that first time, how many knows it gets easier every time? Well, I tell you right now, I was looking for somebody when I found you, and you ain't nothing. There'll be somebody else, and you hit the door. Do you realize people do that with church? They go from church to church to church to church to church and pick up this false doctrine and this false doctrine and the way they do it over here and the way they do it over there. Till before you know it, you are a warped up mess. And how convenient that nobody knows when you're at church and where you are. We're wiser than our enemies. Gosh, I seen them coming in. I thought, golly, boy, my time is up. Oh, where are we now? Oh, yeah, we're going to Luke 19, aren't we? I'll save all that preaching for when we get done with this. I need to get over to chapter 19, I guess. You know one reason why it's real hard for me to divorce your pastor? Or I'm not married to your pastor. I'm married to Scotty the man. You know why it's real hard for me to divorce him? I never have. I can get right up there to it, boy, and I mean I'm about to do it, and everything in me says do it, but it is, at the same time, there's a little bit of something that's like, don't you do it. But how many knows, once you do something, it's easier to do it the next time. I don't know why we're yelling at y'all. Better stick with what you got. I'm telling you right now, you think you got something bad right now, go get you a real devil. They'll strip you naked and run you down the street. Ain't that what the Bible said? They tried to cast the devil out. What did I tell him? Paul, we know who he is. We know who Teresa is. That Jesus, we definitely know who he is. They said, who are you? Evidently, they wasn't nobody. The Bible called them the seven sons of Sceva. So guess what? They just jumped on all of them and stripped their clothes off of them. Can y'all imagine the devil doing you like that? Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? We'd get done with him, he'd be the one running naked. All right, let's get on with this here. Luke 19, I got that amplified. We're going to start reading in verse 11. No, that ain't right. That's 18. No wonder it didn't look right. All right. What did I say? Amplified? Yeah, okay. Verse 11, it says, now as they were listening to these things, he proceeded to tell a parable. It's Jesus talking. Because he was approaching Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God was going to be brought to light and shown forth immediately, he therefore said, a certain nobleman. Now, why is he telling them this parable? He's explaining to them what is about to happen, right? He's going to be crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and he's leaving, right? And we are the ones here supposed to occupy. Is that right? All right, that's why he's telling them this parable here. He goes on and he says, and was going to be brought to light and shown forth immediately. He therefore said, a certain nobleman went into a distant country to obtain for himself a kingdom and then to return. Calling 10 of his own bondservants, that would be me and you, right? We're bondservants. He said he gave them 10 minas, each equal to about 100 days' wages, or nearly $20, and said to them, buy and sell with these while I go and then return. Now that word 13 in the King James says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. This is what we must do. We just got through listening to the psalm. We just got through reading the scriptures about he's about to come and get us, right? Those that are alive and remain in the dead in Christ. But that word occupy, when you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it says to busy oneself with to trade. You could say it this way. Do my business till I come. Y'all remember whenever Jesus, they lost, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus when, what was he, about 12 years old, somewhere around in there? They're in the caravan, 3 days journey, and I don't know why after 3 days. I mean, I'd be looking for mine the second we're pulling out or before, but anyway, you know, maybe they was busy. you know. But after 3 days journey, they're like, hey, where's Jesus? So they went back and they tried to find him and they couldn't. And then they finally found him where? In the Father's house. And what did he tell them? Why was you looking for me? Don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? Well, he did, but not right at that moment. Right at that moment, we got to go over here. But me and you are supposed to be about the Father's business. But sad to say, some of us are too caught up living in this world right now. What's that mean? Well, just like this. We do everything that we feel we possibly can. We orchestrate our life around this church. Because we know this church and what we're doing here is the will of God. Therefore, my life outside of kingdom business can be changed and rearranged. And if it can't, the Bible says if the ox keeps getting in the hole, kill the thing and eat it. Paraphrase it. That would be the hamburger. That would be the cow in our case or whatever. We don't really, or I don't eat ox, but anyway. Oh, Lord, so funny sometimes. Did you know the Holy Ghost? I don't know. Anyway, this is my little scenario here. Did you know the Holy Ghost? Y'all ever seen that movie, Bumblebee? The Holy Ghost is kind of like him. The Bible says he's mine and your paraclete. He's the one comes alongside. Right? Jesus said, it's the Father in me that does the work. But how he knows when God spoke, the Holy Ghost is the one that was hovering and he began to create and do and all that stuff. He lives on the inside of me and you. And he's talking to me and you all the time. So therefore, we do our best to orchestrate our lives around this church, around kingdom business, right? Scotty owns his own business, but when it comes to giveaway day that he's got to go, when he's got to go pick up the food or whatever, that job, yeah, God gave him that job, but for that moment, it has to be put on hold. And God put him there so he could do that. Everybody can't do that. You know, and I've talked to people about this, and they've told me before, well, I understand that, you know, it's because y'all pastor church. No, no, you don't get it. We did this when we went to Faith Restoration. You can ask Sandy, we've done this ever since we was born again, except for the 2 months I backslid now. That was something else. That's all I could take of that crap, 2 months. Huh. Are you talking about hell? But anyway, all of our lives. See, it's not because we're pastors. It's not because we're Sunday school teachers. It's not because, do you realize, hadn't we not done that, we would have never got to here. Because it's the faithful that he gives stuff to, not those that's got it all worked out. He's the one that'll work it out, but you got to pursue him and his will. But some of us, we're way too caught up in this world. We're not occupying. We're not doing his business. Do you understand? You can go to work and do his business at the same time. If you can, April, does he not? Was it last year or the end of last year or this year you told me about the shift change? Yeah. Okay, she tells me about shift change. Want us to believe God with her, you know. Why? Because she wants to be here. Well, it's not working out right at the time. So what do? Just quit your job? Not necessarily. Maybe God gave you that job, but he wants you to use some faith and help him change the direction so you can do what you need to do in the kingdom. You don't hear this much. You don't hear this much. Why? Because a lot of us live our lives based on here and now. And this thing is just about to wrap up, people. For us. For the born again. I'm not talking about his second coming. I'm talking about when we're raptured out of here. And people say the word rapture's not in the Bible. No, it's not. It's called the catching up, the catching away. We just read it. If the yard is keeping you from doing the will of God, let the yard grow up. Make you a trail. Woo! Glory to God. Why? They better not nothing keep you from Jesus. Better not nothing keep you from the will of God. Y'all should be more excited. I'm telling you. I can't hardly wait. You know, and you hear some people talk about his coming and everything, and they're crying, and they're like, oh, yes, come get us, Jesus. I can't hardly take this God-forsaken place. That's wrong. You're not occupied. I'm not looking for his coming to come and snatch me out of here because my problems is so bad. I'm looking for his coming because he said that he would, and I cannot hardly wait to be with him. But we got to occupy. We got to do His business. Everything in our lives when we get born again has to become to where it is centered around Him and His will. What do you know is the will of God? If you know the will of God is for you to pray, don't the Bible say to pray? Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. So we know it's the will of God. With all types of prayer, then what do? Anything that would try to stop me from praying, kill it. I don't know if we're going to say that or not. They're looking at me already, God. Tithes and offerings. If you know it is the will of God, if you're convinced it is the will of God, don't let nothing stop you from doing it. Because, see, if He said He would supply, don't call Him a liar. He's not a liar. He's faithful and He's true. His word has been proven time and time again. And if He's, but see, the devil and your flesh will tell you, I can't. Listen, me and Scotty, one time we were sitting in the service and we had a guest speaker that night, and that was before we started saving $5 a week for the offering for ministers when they come. We had $2 to our name. Travis, he's a little over 2 years old. We got a half a tank of gas, you know, for Scotty to go back and forth to work. It's a Wednesday night, and we're sitting in the middle of church service, and they're taking up the offering, Johnny. All of a sudden in here, I hear God say, give $2. And we ain't even saved long. We don't even know God. It's voice, you know. I mean, one time I'm hearing God, and I'm rebuking the devil. But anyway, on the inside, I hear God, give that $2. And instantly I go, oh, God. Scotty, at the same time, hears God say, give that $2. And I look at him, and he looks at me, and I said, I think God wants us to give that $2. He said, that's what He told me to. We did not. You know why? Fear. And when you think about it, if I'd have just took the time, and what in the world is $2 going to do? What's it going to buy that's going to sustain my life? The devil don't even make no sense. But anyways, things happen. We learned a very valuable lesson. That never happened to us again. See, it's not necessarily God wants our money. He wants our heart, number one. The Bible says over there in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. He wants faith out of me. What is faith? Trusting, believing, having confidence in Him. That He loves me, that He'll take care of me, and that every one of His promises, the Bible says, in Him are yes, and in Him amen. And He has no limits except the ones we put on Him, if we do. So why would we not? Other than we listen to the devil in the flesh. See, I got to get the grass mower. I know what that's like. There was one time, I'm telling you, the devil tried to eat my lunch with that. I am the grass mower. I always have been. Anyway, I mowed the grass. 2 days later, I'm standing there looking out the front door. And to me, it's kind of like them people, they got, what is it, anorexia, where you see yourself 500 pounds and you're like 80. Is that what it is? Or, no, it's bulimia, where you go throw up. And anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. Whatever you call the name of the stuff is, you know. I'm standing there, and it was like, God, I got to mow the yard again. And I just mowed the yard like 2 days before. But when I looked at it, it was like, this yard is just growing up. I got to get this yard mowed. But it was like in here. So the devil comes and gives you thoughts in your mind. He paints you pictures of what you got to do. You got to do this. You got to get it done. You just got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And then on the inside, it was like, you don't got to mow the yard. Don't mow the yard. Leave it alone. You just mowed the yard. And I'm standing there, and I made up my mind, I'm not going to mow this yard. I just mowed this yard 2 days ago, and I'm not going to mow this yard. Well, lo and behold, and we're baby Christians. Lo and behold, I go to church and I'm down at the altar praying because I guess I think I've done something. I don't know. I always felt like I did something. But anyway, down at the altar praying, Brother Brad comes by and he lays his hand on my back and he begins to pray for me. And then he tells me, he said, Teresa, he said, I see you getting weeds out of your garden. Do you know that was a weed in my garden? Why? Because my heart is a garden. It's where God dwells in my spirit. And all these things is trying to come in there, choke out the word, make it where I won't spend time with him, making me believe that I can't do this or I can't do that. Yes, you can. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Why don't we take him at his word? I can't. But you know what he showed me, Johnny? All that stuff that some of y'all thought it was funny that I've watched that movie 18 or 19 times. That's okay. I don't care what y'all think. The Spirit of the Lord was on me. And then when he gave me that song, I believe I can fly. I think about it day and night. See, if you're sick, you need to get you some scriptures from the Word of God that talks about how healed you are and think about it day and night. But see, what we like to do is, I'm getting in the shower. Thank you, Lord, for 1 Peter 2:24. And then you just go on your way till next week whenever you have the pain again. Y'all, come on now. That's not what he said's going to work. Y'all remember the woman with the issue of blood? I got to stop because my time is up. Y'all remember the woman with the issue of blood? What did the Bible say? She kept saying within herself, that woman's meditating on touching the hem of his garment and being healed day and night. She kept saying it on the inside. So whatever it is that the devil's telling you you can't do that is the will of God that you know, you tell him he is a liar, and you get your little phone out or you get your Strong's Concordance out and you go look up all the scriptures that says you are, you can, you have, right? If there's something you can't seem to get victory over, the Bible says you've already been given the victory. So you get those verses and you meditate on them day and night, and the Bible says you will make your way prosperous. I got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything quickly they'd like to say or comment or anything? All right, well, where is this to 11? Hey, you want me to go ahead and take it off? Hey, I might have did a little spit in there too, I'm not sure. Nah, the sovereign was after that.